Mary had a little man.
Blah, blah, blah.
We believe that all men are created
equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
We have major breaking news. A federal appeals court in Washington, D.C., a panel has just issued the ruling on whether Donald Trump can be immune from the actions from being prosecuted for the actions he took on January 6th. Let's get right to Paula Reed, who's been looking through this ruling. What are you seeing, Paula?
Well, John, as expected, the D.C. appeals court has ruled that former President Trump does not enjoy presidential immunity that would shield him from the federal election subversion case. Now, it has taken about a month to get to this decision, but it was pretty clear during the oral arguments in early January, the judges appeared unlikely to agree with Trump's lawyers that he should be shielded by presidential immunity because some of the things he allegedly did occurred while he was still president. His lawyers face really tough questions about whether there were any limitations on their theory of executive power. But John, I want to read you one quote from this decision. They said, quote, this is a three-judge panel, so this is an appeals court. They said, quote, for the purpose of this criminal case, former President Trump has become citizen Trump, with all of the defenses of any other criminal defendant.
Trinketing, everybody. He's the biggest loser. You understand that. Everything that he touches dies. That's what Rick Wilson immediately identified about Donald Trump early on in Donald Trump's presence, unwanted in my case, in our lives. And now he keeps losing in court. Remember, the January 6th case, which is the D.C. case, was supposed to start on March 4th, and that was Judge Chutkan's case. And Donald Trump, being the master of delay, and he knows about delay being his bestest friend in the whole wide world because he has been to court so many stinking times in his life. I mean, so many times. For everything under the sun. Now, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, rape, fraud, sexual assault, not paying contractors, running a school that wasn't really a university and collecting $36,000 per student for something that he couldn't deliver or didn't deliver or would never do. So on and on it goes. But this one, this is criminal. Okay, this case is a criminal case. This case is a case where Donald Trump said that the President of the United States has, for all time, immunity from anything he ever did while he was president. And for a month now, we've been explaining to you, as have every other thinking, thoughtful, decent, host and hostess of any show that you might watch, listen to, or, otherwise imbibe, that if that is the case, then Joe Biden can do whatever he wants. And when you say it that way, and you say Joe Biden can now order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate his political opponent or opponents, then it sounds ridiculous. But for some reason, when Donald Trump's lawyer was asked by this three-judge panel in D.C. whether or not Donald Trump could order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate his political opponent, people were like, of course he can. Of course. Dude, you've lost your way. You are not an American anymore. You belong to some other place, not this one. This is a country where the only thing that is 100% supreme in your life, that's written down in the United States Constitution, is the law. Yes, no, it wasn't Jesus. It's not God of any sort. It's not even a higher power. It's the law. The law is supreme in our system. It is written. It is done. That is the way a democracy like ours functions and works and it will never succumb to a grifter. And so this was all about delay. There's no question about it. And, you know, the court was hip to it. So this three-judge panel, and you remember the arguments, right? Everybody remembers the arguments. This was this.
Could a president order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival? That's an official act in order to SEAL Team 6?
He would have to be and would speedily be, you know, impeached and convicted before the criminal prosecution.
What if he weren't? There would be no criminal prosecution, no criminal liability for that?
Chief Justice's opinion in Marbury against Madison and our constitutional tradition and the plain language of the impeachment judgment clause all clearly presuppose that what the founders were concerned about was not.
I asked you a yes or no question. Could a president who ordered SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival who was not impeached, would he be subject to criminal prosecution?
If he were impeached and convicted first. And so
your answer is.
My answer is qualified yes. There is a political process that would have to occur under the structure of our Constitution, which would require impeachment and conviction by the Senate. In these exceptional cases, as the OLC memo itself points out from the Department of Justice, you'd expect a speedy impeachment and conviction.
Okay, so the president, we learned right there, was represented by Gilbert Gottfried, number one. Number two, that Mr. Sawyer has absolutely no shame at all. And that he would say that the only way that you could prosecute a president for a criminal offense of having his political opponent assassinated in America is if the House of Representatives impeached him and the Senate then convicted him, which in his mind would happen speedily. That is insane because, first of all, the only penalty for impeachment and a guilty verdict in the Senate, the only remedy that they could then rely on if they got a guilty plea was removal from office and disqualification from holding office. But the president of the United States, who just ordered the assassination of his political rival, could not be placed in jail because he was impeached and there was a Senate trial that found him guilty of assassinating his political opponent. That the limit to impeachment is political. And a conviction in the Senate is political. The remedy is political. It has nothing to do with taking away a person's freedom, taking away their liberty, putting them in jail. Okay, that would be taking away your liberty, you know, taking away your freedom. That has to come at the hands of a jury of your peers, and that has to come in a criminal proceeding, in a criminal trial, not in a political trial, which is what impeachment is. So that didn't fly, okay? And I'm sure the second Mr. Sawyer actually said, well, yeah, in certain circumstances, you can kill whoever you want to kill if you're president of the United States because, you know, there'd be an impeachment speedily. You know, the House would move to impeach him and then there would be a trial in the Senate where, of course, he would be removed. Meanwhile, the thing that he's going on criminal trial for is violence against the Capitol. It's an insurrection. And the Senate had a difficult time getting 2/3 of the Senate to have him declared guilty of such thing, right? Why? Because he was already gone. Don't you remember any of this? I know a lot of people do. The president of the United States, when he was impeached for January 6's violence against the United States, when he was impeached and then the trial began in the Senate, Donald Trump was not in the Oval Office any longer. We had a new president. And still, 10 Republican senators voted that he was guilty of inciting an insurrection against his own country. But that's not 2/3. And that's why he wasn't, deemed guilty. But one, and you know, in the same breath, this is really strange. In the same breath, when he said, oh, well, I wasn't, I was impeached, but I wasn't found guilty, and removed by two-thirds majority because you were already gone. That means I can't be tried. Oh, and by the way, if you did try me, that would be double jeopardy. All those arguments went out the window, as they should today.